I won't think any less of you if you answer this question in the positive, but how many of you ever take a donut and dip it in coffee? Oh, my goodness. I take it back. I'm going to think less of you. Why would you take a perfectly good donut and soak it in something like coffee? I don't get it. But anyway, that's okay. How many of you take a perfectly good cookie, perhaps a chocolate chip cookie, and dip it in a perfectly good glass of milk? Well, let me figure that out. How many of you do that? Uh-oh. How many of you, that doesn't even sound good? Mary Lou, at least we're on the same page. Nobody else even read it. Some of you are not sure, but you know what happens when you put the donut in there? It soaks up the coffee, right? And you put the cookie in there, it soaks up the milk, right? You run a perfectly good glass of milk, and there's crumbs in it now. But anyway, the point is it soaks it up. You know, in our relationship with the Lord, our life should be soaked up so far with Jesus. Maybe next time you folks that do that, dip your donut in your coffee or your cookie in your milk, just think about that. Is my life soaked up with Jesus? You might call it a spiritual perspective. Everything in life that happens, including what's happening to Israel and the terrorists and all that, and as you know, clearly, we as Christians need to be in support. We're told to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and I think it'd be great if there could be a rally organized at some point and in support of Israel, because we are supportive of Israel. They're God's chosen people. God still has a time plan for them and a plan for them, and they'll occupy the land that was promised them in the Abrahamic covenant. Plus, if we support Israel, we're blessed according to what the Bible says. So absolutely, that's a great thing to do. So everything that happens, when we even watch the situation in the world, things happen in our lives, we have illnesses, we have all kind of things, relationship problems. All of that happens to us ought to help us look at it from a spiritual perspective, because we've soaked up so much of Jesus. Now, the world is more than happy to have you look at things their way. And they'll make you think that's the only way to look at it from the world perspective. But can I tell you, when we soak in enough Jesus in our hearts and lives, through reading the Word and through prayer and by coming to church and being obedient to the Lord, guess what? We should have a spiritual perspective. Some would call it a Christian worldview. You've heard that terminology perhaps, a Christian worldview. Tonight we're looking, we're finishing the Psalm 40. So if you want to open your Bibles to Psalm 40, we started in Psalm 40, but we didn't finish it. I looked at verses 1 to 10. I thought that'd be a shame to leave verses 11 to 17 out. So the Lord helped me, and we looked at it, and I think we have some good things that can draw us a little closer to the Lord under the topic, a spiritual perspective. A spiritual perspective. In these verses, I'm going to go read verses 11 to 17. Last week, verses 1 to 10, remember, the title of the message was God's Part, My Part. Remember? God's Part, My Part. Sometimes we get that mixed up, right? We try to get in there with our ideas and the way we want to do it and say, this is what's going to happen. And God's not working fast enough, so I'm going to go in there. And usually what happens is we make a mess of it. Let God be God, and we do our part. Our part is obedience to the Lord, right? And seeking His help and guidance. Tonight, a spiritual perspective, beginning in verse 11, okay? David, who is going through a difficult time in his life, but God rescued him. I can't even hardly imagine how difficult it was on David. He had already been anointed king over Israel, but he had to wait until Saul was off the throne. And David wouldn't do anything to precipitate that. David wouldn't do anything to make that happen sooner. Remember, he had the opportunity to kill Saul in the cave, remember? And he didn't. So he was letting God deal with it. And he says, if you want to look at verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my going. So he's praising the Lord through this. But then you get down to verse 11, it kind of turns into a prayer request, okay? And it says in verse 11, I'll read 11 through the end of the chapter. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame. They that say unto me, Aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, The Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Now, as he prays to the Lord here, again, it kind of shifts in this. He's talking about the Lord and how the Lord delivered in verse 11. I guess that's probably the reason I broke it right there and just did verses 1 to 10 last week. It's because it turns into a prayer. And the first part, verse 11, is a sincere prayer. Notice what he says. He prays for three things in this verse, in verse 11. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. So he prays a very sincere prayer. He says, I want your loving, or your tender mercies, sorry, the loving kindness, and I want your truth. Boy, that's pretty good the thing to pray for, don't you reckon? Sincere prayer. I want to see your tender mercies. Don't withhold them from me. You know, I'm thankful for the Lord's mercies. It's because of his mercies that we're not consumed, the Bible says, right? Because of his mercy toward us. And if it wasn't for God's mercy, we'd all be in trouble. Y'all agree with that? We'd wonder, we'd be going around saying, where'd Larry Sayer go? We'd say, oh, that's him right there. That's that pile of ashes right there. He did something wrong and God just struck him down. And you could put my name in there. You could put someone. But because of the Lord's tender mercies, we're not consumed. Because of the Lord's tender mercies is why we can keep going. That's why he forgives us and says, get up and do better. There's always consequences, but I'm thankful for his tender mercies. What about his loving kindness? Isn't that something to be thankful for? His loving kindness. Really, it's because of God's loving kindness that we have air to breathe, right? Sunshine. Actually, the sun. Can y'all believe this? The sun actually came out yesterday. I don't know about you, but it seems like, I'm really not complaining, but just observing, it seems like this may have been the grayest fall to this point that I can remember. I mean, there are so many gray days that we don't see the sun hardly. But yesterday, as best I remember, the sun came out. Wasn't that nice? Even today a little bit, the sun came out. That was nice, right? All of that is because of God's loving kindness. I mean, just think about all the good stuff you got. It's because he loves us. And he's kind toward us. Do we deserve it? Nope. It's kind of related back in with the mercy. Mercy is something you don't deserve, but I'm thankful for it anyway. What about truth? What about truth? It says, and thy truth preserve me. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. You know, we got the truth. I'm glad that we have the truth. We don't have to wander around. There's a bunch of people wandering around in this world trying all kind of weird stuff and saying all kind of weird stuff and standing for all kind of weird stuff because they don't have the truth. They don't know the truth. But I know the truth, not because of who I am, but because of who God is and what he's given to us in his book. This is all 100% true. So if you're standing against this, you're standing against God's truth. If you're standing for it, you're standing for God's truth. I can base my life upon his truth, can't you? I can make my decisions based upon God's truth, can't you? I can raise my family based upon God's truth, can't you? I can read my Bible. I can serve the Lord. I can minister even tomorrow night to Liberty High School football team based upon the truth of God's word, right? I mean, I'm just thankful. A sincere prayer that David prayed here for tender mercies, for loving kindness, and for truth. Secondly, I see that in verse 12, a serious problem. A serious problem. It says, for innumerable evils have compassed me about. But notice this. There's lots of evils around me. But notice, notice who he blames for it. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I am not able to look up. If I'm understanding right, he's talking about his iniquities right here. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Now, some of you don't get an easy pass on that because you don't have any hair. That's, but it's basically, there's a bunch of iniquity in my heart and in my life. You know, David, when he said, search me and try me and see if there's any wicked way in me, it wasn't, I don't believe, like he thought there's nothing in there. He just says, I don't look at I don't look at things the way you do, God. So I want you, with a fine-tooth comb, if you will, to go through my heart and see all the sins in there, because I want to be pleasing to you. And here he says, guess what? Mine iniquities are more than the hairs on my head. You see, that's a serious problem. Whenever we have these sins in our hearts and lives. Now, we know David's big sin, right? With Bathsheba and with Uriah. I mean, it was big, and there was a lot of consequence, a lot of pain over that. But he did repent and turn back to the Lord. But you know what? We have a serious problem. It's called a sin problem. Now, we in the New Testament, we've hopefully dealt with that sin problem, right? As David did, going before the Lord, say, Lord, forgive me my sins, be my Savior, wipe the slate clean. But we're still sinners. I guarantee you, everybody in this church has sinned sometime today. By the words you may say, by the thoughts you may think, by the actions that you commit, something along the line. And guess what? We're sinners, and we need to recognize that. It is a serious problem, but we need to be conscious of it and ask God to help us overcome those sins, right? It's not like we wallow in them. It's not like we say, well, I got an excuse because we're all sinners. No. Our responsibility is to draw as close as we can to God and get rid of that sin out of our heart and life. Now, imagine, as I mentioned the word sin in our life, I bet God might have just said, whoa, guess what? Guess what sin I'm talking about in your heart, in your life, in your heart, in your life? Get it out. Serious problem. But you know, Paul talked about that serious problem. I'm going to paraphrase what he said in Romans chapter 7 for the sake of time. He basically said this. You know, the things that I ought to be doing, I don't do. And the things I ought not be doing, that's the things I do. This is the Apostle Paul. We say, wow. You see, we're sinners. There's a serious problem. So what helps us to stay within the boundaries of God's limits, of his guardrails, if you will? The Bible. Soak it in. Read it. Study it. Coming to church helps us be accountable, right? And keeps us. Whenever we spend our own quiet time and pray to the Lord, that helps us stay in the boundaries, if you will. Helps us. We'll always be sinners, but we ought to be, as we get older, ought to be maturing in our walk with God, right? And those sins that have beset us for so long ought to be starting to be taken care of, don't you think? A sincere prayer. Lord, I need your tender mercies, your loving kindness, and your truth. A serious problem. My sins are more than the hairs on my head. Therefore, my heart faileth me, he says. Number three, a simple petition. I like this. Verse 13 and 17 in particular. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Verse 17. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Remember we talked about that, how his thoughts are innumerable toward us? That ought to bless us. And thou art, we talked about that last week. Thou art my help and my, what? Deliverer. Make no tearing, oh my God. What's he saying? Deliver me quickly, Lord. You ever have those moments? Lord, I need your help right now. I need your deliverance right now. A simple petition. petition to the Lord. That's what he's saying. He said, I need your help, Lord, deliver me. Is there anything wrong with those simple prayers? And he was wanting God to hurry up, right? I mean, as long as I understand that God has his time frame and God's time frame is perfect, I think it's perfectly fine. God is not intimidated by me telling him or talking to him in prayer and say, God, I need you and I need you now. I need it quick. I need some real deliverance. I don't think God is intimidated by that at all. He's a big enough God, as long as I have the right attitude in my heart, say, Lord, I need you now. And really, as I think about that, I think our country needs God now. Now. Fourth point, we're talking about a spiritual perspective. First of all, I see in verse 11 a sincere prayer. In verse 12, a serious problem, sin problem. Third, a simple petition, Lord, deliver us or deliver me quickly, David said. Number four, a specific plan, verses 14 and 15. He has a plan. He's saying, God, this is what I'd like to see have happen. He was real specific about it. Let them be ashamed and confounded that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame. So there's a shameful, make them desolate. They that say unto me, aha, aha. You know what I think that aha, aha means? They're looking for fault, and they're trying to find fault in David. And they're saying, you know, the people that are always looking after me and trying to get me caught up in something, they did the same to Christ, right? That's why the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and the high priests and all those folks kept asking all those questions. It wasn't because they wanted to know the answer. It's because they kept trying to trip up Jesus. I think a similar thing was going on here with David. They were trying to find anything, any fault they could in him. They were trying to trap him up. Trying to kill him, trying to do all kind of stuff. And he says, I want you to reward them. He said real specific. He said, I want you to make them ashamed. I want you to confound them. I want you to drive them back. I want you to put them to shame. I want them to be desolate. I mean, wow, real specific. Now, is there a place in prayer for a specific prayer concern? Absolutely. I think sometimes we pray real general. And I think sometimes we do that because of time. You know, I know one reason I like Wednesday nights is because we take the time. One of my pet peeves is, you know, okay, we've taken all these concerns and Lord bless all these concerns. Amen. Be safe going home. I really like taking time and praying over those things. You know, the Bible in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, remember that? It says, be careful for nothing. Or in other words, don't worry about anything. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, Amy misquoted that one time in her college group. They asked her what was her favorite verse. She said, be careful about everything or worry about everything. And then she went on to quote, it didn't quite work. So you can throw something at me later, but she laughs about it, how she misquoted it. But the point is, be careful for nothing or don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer, we know what prayer is, supplication is specifically praying for your need. I mean, it's amazing what I pray for sometimes. I mean, I try to do the same. I try to be real specific. I pray for y'all. I pray for Ryan and Jason. If I'd share with you all the things I pray for Ryan and Jason, you'd probably say, man, that's a lot. Well, I believe in being specific. Don't you? I mean, when people are sick and going to the hospital, you know, I've been known to pray that God will give them exactly the right amount of anesthesia. Exactly the right amount, because there's some good anesthesiologists and there's not so good anesthesiologists. I don't want to be out for a week, and I definitely don't want to wake up in the middle of the procedure. I want a good little nap, but I want to be able to come up at the right time. So do you think it's important to pray specifically for things rather than just kind of generally pray? Absolutely. He had a specific plan, and he prayed to God for it. And the last point tonight, under a spiritual perspective, which every one of us ought to have, David prayed a sincere prayer. Lord, thank you for your tender mercies, your loving kindness and truth, and just help them to keep coming, keep flowing. He said, I got a serious problem. I'm a sinner, and my sins are more than the hairs on my head. Then he made a simple petition, Lord, deliver me quickly. I need you right now. And then fourthly, a specific plan. He said, now this is what I'd like to see you do. Boom, 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 boom. And then he said, number five, he exhibited a solid perspective, a solid perspective. Notice this in verse 16. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. You know, there's something that Christians ought to have that the world doesn't have. It's called joy. Amen. Joy. And I'm telling you, I've probably seen about as many Christians with joy as I have Christians without joy. Or maybe. You know, I mean, really, most of us kind of mope around like, I'm just barely getting by, preacher. I mean, really, sometimes. And I want you to be honest. I don't want you to flower it up. But really what ought to happen, and in my heart, I'm telling you, not every time you see me at church am I joyful either. I mean, I'll just be 100% honest with you. I got things on my brain, things are going on. Believe it or not, there are certain things that go on in my brain. Not too difficult, but things go on in there every once in a while. And I can't say I'm not like holier than thou. Yeah, I'm always joy. But we as Christians, we ought to have joy. And if we don't have joy, there's a problem, really. But David had a really solid perspective. He said, verse 16. Yeah, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Maybe the reason we don't have the joy and the rejoicing, we're not seeking after the Lord the way we ought to. And we've kind of been talking about that quite a bit on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights, right? About seeking after the Lord, out of looking at the wise guys, wise men. Notice it said, let such as love thy salvation say continually. Do you love his salvation, his deliverance? Boy, I sure do. I'm glad that he delivered me. You know, when I get down to my last breath, guess what? I don't have to worry. I'm not saying I won't, and I won't be. I'm not saying, but I don't have to worry because I know where I'm going. Because God delivered me. God saved me. God rescued me. And notice this solid perspective. Notice who David says is to be praised. This blows all kind of holes in those that think you can work your way to heaven. Because if you think you can work your way to heaven, it ought to say, my name be magnified. But guess what? You can't work your way to heaven. You can't get to heaven on your own. It's only because of God. And David shows a solid perspective by saying, let such as love thy salvation say continually, continually, the Lord be magnified. The Lord be magnified. You know, if we have anything good, it's because of God. If we can do anything good, it's because of God. If I can hit a high note, it's because of God. If I can hit a low note, it's because of God. If I can have friends, it's because of God. If I have a roof over my head, it's because of God. If I have a mind that thinks great thoughts or even works every once in a while, I can praise God because he's the reason I got it, right? So look here. It says, such as love thy salvation, say continually, the Lord be magnified. He had a solid perspective. Rejoice, be glad, and all the praise goes to God. So tonight, a spiritual perspective. We looked at a sincere prayer. Lord, pray for your tender mercies. I pray for your loving kindness and your truth to continue to work in my heart and life. We looked at a serious problem. It's called a sin problem. We ever forget we're sinners, I really think we're in trouble. Because if we're not sinners, you won't be praying to God to help you overcome your sin. And you'll start thinking you're a little bit bigger, you know the expression, you're going to get a little bit too big for your britches. If you start to think that you're not a sinner, we're sinners. That's all we are. Someday we'll be sinless when we get to heaven. But in the meantime, we're sinners saved by grace. Third thing, a simple position, a petition that is, deliver me, deliver me. That's good. Just sometimes, deliver me quickly. Lord, I need your help now. Number four, specific plan. He is specifically supplications. Pray that this would happen to his enemies. Number five, a solid perspective. All praise goes to God. So what can we kind of, I like sometimes to wrap it and put it in a nice neat bow. As I use several analogies to end a sermon. One is land a plane. Some say, preacher, you're up in the air way too long before you land that plane sometimes. But as we land the plane, as we tie it up in a nice, neat bow, I want to give you several pieces of advice from what we looked at. We need to pray sincerely. Amen. Pray sincerely. There's a time for those, I'm in a real hurry, God, so this, and this. But really, we should pray more sincerely, I believe, and take time to do it. And And I think God will bless you for taking time on your knees before Him. Second thing I want you to take with you, realize that you're a sinner. Realize you're a sinner. Don't ever forget the fact that you're a sinner, but you're a saved sinner because of Jesus. Third thing I want you to take with you, pray simply. Pray simply. You know, I didn't hit it so much as we went through this, but you don't have to. I know sometimes new Christians think, I can't pray. I don't know how to pray. Well, you know how to talk to people, don't you? Just throw in a good, healthy dose of respect and just talk to God. Pray simply. Pray specifically. We talked about that. And then don't ever forget to praise God, because every good thing comes from God. David put it this way, the Lord be magnified. A spiritual perspective. The next time you strange people take your donut, and a perfectly good donut at that, and dunk it into coffee, or when you take a perfectly good cookie, a lot of times a chocolate chip cookie, that's about the best, and you dip it in perfectly good white milk and get all those crumbs in there. I want you to think about this. I want you to think about this, since most of you do it. I want you to think about this. Number one, am I sinning against God? No, just kidding. Number one, I want you to think about, do I have the spiritual perspective that I should have about everything in life? Have I soaked up Jesus the way I should, so that whenever I face a situation, like David, I have a spiritual perspective? Because you should. And don't sit there and say, preacher, every Christian has a spiritual perspective. No, they don't. But be the one that does, okay? Whatever comes up, spiritual perspective. Spiritual perspective. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Psalm 40. Lord, we spent 2 weeks looking at it. I pray that as we've emphasized tonight, a spiritual perspective, Lord, help us. The world's definitely got their perspective. It's wrong, but they got it. And Lord, a lot of Christians are misguided in their perspective too. But help us, Lord, to have a spiritual perspective that comes from you. Lord, we have your word that gives us the answers. And Lord, whatever the problem, we may face something tomorrow we never ever thought we would face. But Lord, help us to come to that problem with a spiritual perspective. Lord, knowing that you're a God who's in control. Lord, come to you and entreat your guidance and your direction in whatever the problem might be, Lord. But just look at it from a spiritual perspective, Lord, we pray. We thank you again for your word. Help us to draw closer to you. Help our church to see increase, we pray in Jesus' name.